Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain free Friday for us, doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. A bad seed, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatia right across the river and through the woods from where Granny's getting out of the rehab center next week. Everybody's stoked. So the first thing she said was, get me a giant Aussie of the lemon meringue, 20% flower. In New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends are coming around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High this evening. Toll free, the number 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. All right, so I'm watching right now, believe it or not, the women's Final Four, and Arizona is beating up on UConn in the second quarter. They're up 11 and at the line, adding to it, but they missed the free throw. So they're up 25-14. On UConn, the number one seed. Arizona's been burying threes and scoring inside as well. And, of course, UConn has the big front line. Doesn't matter. They can't hit the broadside of a barn. They're missing ducks, bunnies, layups, kisses, you name it, they're missing. Step backs, Beckers on the baseline, brick hit the side of the backboard. I mean, like, they just missed three more layups right now while I was talking about it on rebounds. Shot, miss, shot, miss, shot, miss. I mean, they're just, they just can't hit a shot. So right now, they're in trouble. But remember, 21 Final Fours for Gino Auriemma, 13 straight Final Fours. He's never lost a championship game, 11-0, right? So they always find a way. They always come back. They always get it done. That's the deal. But, I mean, they are literally missing everything. The girl just missed both free throws. They couldn't hit the ocean from the beach tonight. That's how bad they're shooting. And this team's playing great defense against them, Arizona. And they got a little guard hitting threes. And she's also as cocky as they come. She does like, every time she makes a shot, she dances and does, straight gangster, like, stops and crosses her arms. and does like a straight gangster like portfolio stop. And I think she's kind of ridiculous, but whatever. Like if I was playing against her, I'd break her nose. You're going to show me up. You're going to, you know what I mean? You're going to, you think you're going to dance around here and show me up and put on a show and then embarrass me and humiliate me. And I'm like playing against you. It's just happening. I'm going to break your nose. That's it. You know, my deal is I don't do that to anybody. You do it to me, I'm going to break your nose. Carver, you know it's true. All right. We welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM 204, our satellite partners, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier, Hoorah. It's Pharrell on the bench with Carver High tonight. Again, toll free 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. I got to tell you, so I'm watching this game, and oh my God, they hit a shot. That's the first basket they made in 10 minutes. So I'm watching this game, and I really am completely unimpressed with UConn. Like, I've seen them play through the years. You know, I mean, we're forced to watch them, aren't we? Like, at some point or another, at the end of the year, it's always UConn in the Final Four. So when you go to 13 straight Final Fours, I think we, you know, see a lot of UConn on national television every year at this time of year in the tournament and Final Four and, you know, whatever. And now they just hit another three. They're up 12 on UConn. Arizona's in the lead. Anyway, my point is this, Carver High. I think he's a brilliant coach. I think he's kind of a D. I think a lot of people don't like him. He's the cockiest coach ever. I mean, this guy just rubs it in your face. And but I've seen way better UConn teams than this one. I got to be honest. Like, I just don't think they're that good. I mean, so what does it say about women's hoops and this tournament that they still make it to the, you know, Final Four? Baylor got screwed on that no foul call. There's no doubt about that. But the reality is this. In that game, they were not calling fouls. They let them play. On both ends, the whole night, they let Baylor and UConn get away with murder with, you know, defending and fouling. They just let them play. They put away their whistles. So you can't put away your whistle the whole game and then all of a sudden pull it out with 5 seconds left. You know what I'm saying? So that was the word after the game. So I'm watching this team tonight getting their ass beat. Right now they're down 10, and they just do not look good at all, and they just do not look like some dominant UConn team like the ones we've seen in the past. Carver High, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's been an initial naming of the new Pharrell Palatial studio. Did you hear about it?
I did not hear about any kind of naming rights that were sold or naming anything. I haven't heard anything about the naming rights to your new studio. I have not heard
anything about it.
Who bought the rights? Who has it?
You won't believe the naming rights deal I signed today. It's the Magic City Studios at the Pharrell Palatial.
Magic City Studio.
The wings are free, but the chicks aren't.
Look, like I'm glad that you bagged such a reputable sponsor. I feel like that's somebody that you want to be in bed with. And now, like, to have things like wings and you know, and chicks just lined up all throughout the studio, I mean, that's just going to make things so much better.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you won't believe this, but I know that you've been hearing reports on Coast to Coast, like in breaks, that it's like done. I mean, for the most part, the crew, the contracting crew, finished today. They left. They're done. They're gone. There's still I got a painter coming tomorrow to just finish some trim, and I got a air conditioning guy and heating guy to come put on the vents, because the vents are already built. He just has to put the covers on because he had to wait for the paint job, right? And then I got the TV guy, my boy Fast Eddie, coming in to swoop in and get the TVs and the soundbars hooked up for the rec room, which is what we're calling the one room, and then the studio, the Magic City Studios at Ferrella Palatial. He's going to finish that off. And then, I mean, I don't want to really go down there yet and start hooking stuff up and broadcasting from in there, because I want it to all be working. The TV, the soundbar, I want to get some, you know, furniture in there, because I got, you know, recliners and sofas and everything else. But the walls are done, like, with the pictures. So I picked a bunch of pictures. I got a couple in there you'll like. I got a Whitey Ford in there. I got the Yager finger painting. You've seen that one. I got a Lemieux, a bent over Lemieux with he's got the stick on his knees and he's bent over exhausted in a game. Unbelievable. Signed.
It's beautiful.
Signed by Mario. I also have a Mazeroski hitting the game 7, ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, walk-off home run to beat the Yankees in 1960. Signed by Mazeroski. I also have a picture from Miami, the City Link magazine, which called me Satan. That made the wall. And then I have a picture of me holding the Marlins World Series trophy, absolutely hammered at the Marlins World Series party. I'm holding the trophy. And then I got a shot of 34C and I living in Miami with bleach blonde hair and tans. And then I have my Wall Street Journal, Pharrell, the Generation X's Howard Cosell. And then I also have a Ty Cobb up there. Like, I mean, dude. And I mean, it is just fantastic. I have to. You know what I'll do, Carver High, for your pleasure, your viewing pleasure this evening? How would you like to see some shots of it this evening?
Yeah. Send me a couple pics. Let me get a look at what you got working there.
Okay, relax. So there's still some fun out here. This game's fun, okay?
We still have some, you know, painting materials on the floor and such. But I'll even send you the full shot of the rec room that's, you know, empty. But that's the new rec room. And then the rest of it, obviously, with all the pictures you'll see, Carver High, will be the room with all the paint stuff on the floor and horseshoes, you know, the big horseshoe stands and all the stuff on the floor with the pictures all over the walls. That would be the studio. There you go. I'm sending it to you right now. And then hopefully you'll give me a review here when you announce that you've received the text message with the photos, several photos. You'll have to, signify that you and, you know, let the audience know you've received the photos.
I have received them. I have the transmission. I do have it.
All right. So open it up and look at it and tell me what you think. Here we go.
So am I looking at the rec room or the studio? Which one is this?
Well, the rec room is the one. It's the long room with nothing in it. There's nothing in it.
Okay. So this room with all the photos you were just talking about on the wall, that's the studio.
That's the studio.
The one with the Yager painting, yes, on it and all that. That's the studio. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, it's a nice space. I see what you're doing in here. It looks great.
Right?
It does.
The Magic City Studios at Ferrella Palatial. How do you like that? Wings are free, chicks aren't. Fabulous sponsorship there. You know, Lou Williams loves Magic City.
Show me the money!
I mean, Lou goes over there. Sweet Lou goes over there at least once or twice a week for wings. You know, and now that he's playing for the Hawks, you know he's always just blowing through. He may be up to 4 or 5 nights a week now.
He is on fire.
Popular. Very popular. Anyway, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll be in there doing shows. I want it to be, everything set up, everything running, everything perfect, everything Gandhi before I sound check and move it all in there and do shows from in there. So for the time being, I'm still here in the plush shop bedroom in front of the underwear dresser.
We're going to Minneapolis! We go to L.A. We go to Frisco, Albuquerque, Chicago.
I mean, we are ready. You know Nature Boy's going to come to the match.
All we're trying to think is whether you're a fat, out of shape truck driver, whether you're a skinny geek pushing a taxi cab, whether you're a doctor or lawyer that doesn't have half the money we have. This is the way life is.
It never ceases to amaze me how great that is.
I know.
It never gets old. Ever.
It really doesn't. It doesn't.
It stands the test of time like Led Zeppelin songs. It really does. The Nature Boy. It really is incredible. Are you excited to have the Gunslinger on the show tonight?
I am. Very excited. Gunslinger, of course, in the mix. Coming up here at 10:25. Big weekend. Big weekend. Final four.
You know, I think this is the Gunslinger's first appearance ever on the bench.
I think that that's very possible. Yes.
He's never been on the show before. Through all these years and thick and thin, all of the ball, all of the fights, all the arguments, all the shoving, spitting, fist throwing, all the dunks, all the alley-oops. And then the Gunslinger is now coming on the show tonight to talk basketball, which is going to be very interesting. Not only is the Gunslinger a rock star status friend, but he is a great basketball player. I mean, a great basketball player. And we're gonna talk to him about everything. And we'll finally get someone with a review of my game other than Mafia. You know, Mafia just gives me, you know, like what would you say Mafia gives me? About a 7 out of 10? Give me about a 6 or a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, so it's probably something in that area.
It's not good enough.
All right.
I light Mafia up like a bong. So we're going to get the real opinion in here now of the Gunslinger, who I ball with way more than Mafia. Mafia quit playing basketball a few years ago when he got married. That was the end of him. He was 6'5", 240. Now he's 6'1", 290. Shrinking and getting fatter. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty funny. Check out. Ooh. All right, we were just talking about the Gunslinger on the air. He probably didn't hear us, but he's a legend. The guy played high school basketball in Jersey at a famed school. We won't get into all that, but he went to a really great high school for basketball and football, and he was a star player there. Then he played at the University of New England. He was a star player there. And then he became a coach at Princeton in basketball. And then the Ivy League decided that they had found God, and they canceled sports for 2 years. And that was the end of basketball. They still haven't participated in sports since the COVID started. Maybe they're just smarter than all of us. Who knows? And then now the Gunslinger is involved with Sports Grid. He does a lot of really cool stuff with us at the network. And then I periodically ball with the Gunslinger because he's a great basketball player. I like to refer to him as the Gunslinger because he's a flyer. Guy can get up and down and just fly through the air and finish and score from anywhere, shoot from anywhere, bury 30-footers. He's got inside game, outside game, shot blocking, can defend. I mean, a guy that played college basketball and high school basketball, he was a star in both. And then he ends up playing with fat old white guys like me for the rest of his life. What could be worse? The Gunslinger is with us tonight. Ryan Matthews from Sports Grid. How you doing, Gunslinger?
I'm good, Scotty. What an introduction, man. Jeez.
I mean, honestly, you know it's true. Now, let's get down to the gist of it. Earlier, I had said Mafia gives me, you know, he never wants to talk about my greatness because he's been around me for too long. And he gives me like a, you know, I think Carver High said about a 7 give me a 6 or 7 out of 10 as a player. I mean, let's just get down to business. You know that I can roast him like chestnuts on an open fire playing basketball. What move can't I get him up in the air on and finish up and under him and finger roll him, humiliate him? I mean, honestly, I'm on your level. I play with you on your good team, with you and Money, and I won't get off the floor all day. I'll play for 3 straight hours. I win so many games in a row, I got chicks sending me love letters.
I mean, we had to work on the technical fouls, but once we got rid of those, we were primed for success for sure.
So what you're suggesting is that I had, we all knew that I led the league for 8 years in technical fouls and abusive language toward referees, which was all very fun and funny and humiliating to everyone. But, so once I got through all that and I stopped cussing out refs and getting in fistfights, you're saying that I had game.
Yeah, once we got past the whole laying on the floor, screaming, temper tantrums, following officials to their cars, everything else, that corner jump shot is okay. Patented by Scotty Farrell.
Okay, that's great. Listen, let's be honest here. I've never chased a ref to a car. Okay,
but that might have been a little bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah, well, I've never followed anyone to their car, but I have. Made love in a lot of cars with women. Many women have fallen in love with me over the years and made love to me in cars. Many vehicles have been indoctrinated by Pharrell with my great love-making capabilities. But I've never gotten in a fight with a ref out in the parking lot of a game. But I know a bunch of players in our league that have. I know guys that have actually gone and, you know, chased the ref out to the car and threatened their life, which is, you know, really embarrassing. I tend to take my fights right on the court and then right into the locker room. And then I'm willing to do it in the jacuzzi as well and drown people, as you know.
I mean, best story is that championship game a few years ago. I come down the court, I catch it, I got Scotty on me, I give a little ball fake, Scott goes flying through the air, I lean in and throw it off, bank it in, and they call you for a foul. This kind of puts the game out of reach, and you went absolutely ballistic on the certain official that you know exactly who I'm talking about, and you had to be escorted out of the gym.
Oh, yeah. So was that the one when I did the kung fu? What was the guy's name? Carver Hyde, the guy that, Wata. Well, who's the guy again? The kung fu guy that I'm thinking of? The legend. You know, the guy, they did the 30 for 30 on him. Your boy, be Water, my friend. Yeah, Bruce Lee. So I did a kung fu Bruce Lee move where I flew out of the gym with my legs straight out, and I smashed through the door. And if I would have broke that door, gunslinger, that would have cost me $1,000, and it would have that would have not gone over well with the management if I had shattered that door, because I kicked through the door with the kung fu move. I remember that kung fu ejection. That was not good.
Yeah, that was textbook.
I thought my heart attack and convulsions and where I was at center court and I had the convulsions and the heart attack. I thought that one was epic because, like, remember the scorers table, people were screaming and they thought it was real. And then my children were there. My kids were there, and my kids weren't even fazed at all because they knew I was faking it. My kids knew. They're like, oh, he's pulled out the old heart attack move again. And I started having convulsions and I started having an epileptic seizure and I had foam coming out of my mouth. It was actually, all I had to do was chew my bubble gum really fast and hard, and then a lot of liquid comes out of my face. And I turn it into drool with a little chewy foam. And then it's all mastered Bill Laimbeer stuff, gunslinger. I'm a master. All right, so let me ask you this. When you've watched this game tonight, right? Have you been watching this chick game? How bad has Connecticut looked in this game, missing shots and bunnies and layups and ducks and hooks? I mean, have you ever seen them miss so many shots? I've never seen a UConn team ever in the last 20 years look this bad.
Yeah. Surprising. I thought they'd be up for the challenge tonight versus team. UConn normally just takes the cake, right?
I mean, they always win it, and Arizona's kicking their ass. They're up 10. Now we got an entire second half to go. What do you think of Paige Becker's game. Like, tonight she's got like a three and then a driving foul, made both free throws. I think she's got 4 points in the game. I think she's been completely shut down by Arizona. But like, she had 28 in that game against Baylor. But in the last 5 minutes of that game against Baylor, I don't know if you saw it, but she went 0 for 8. She never made a shot. And that let Baylor back into the game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's incredible, right? Like, she's really, really, really good. And her and Jalen Suggs used to play one-on-one in high school against each other all the time. So that's right. A nice little connecting Final Four story. But she's incredible, but she's also a freshman. And, you know, like you pointed out, at the end of that Baylor game, I don't know if she looked like she wanted the ball, which is a little alarming.
Are you surprised that, like, Arizona's doing a great job denying her the ball in this game? She has no space or no ability to do anything. When she gets the ball, when she doesn't have the ball, she's singled. When she gets the ball, she's doubled. And she can't really do anything. And at least she's not trying to overdo it and get off bad shots. She's just playing within herself and giving the ball up because she has nothing she can do with it. Like right now, she just jacked an air ball three. It was embarrassing. She missed by 5 feet. So that's the first really bad shot I've seen her take. She's the AP player of the year. Are you shocked to see an 18-year-old girl that good? As good as she's been, she has been incredible. The way she passes is like Magic Johnson. And she just got fouled going to the rack. But I don't think she's looked good tonight. Are you surprised that a kid that young could be this great?
Surprised that she's not playing up to her capabilities, but that's what, I mean, the bright lights and the Final Four do to young kids. We see that, you know, in years past on both sides of the men's and the women's. It's made people ready for the moment that step up. It's a challenge, ready for the moment. And it's also broken people. So, hopefully she bounces back here with 9 minutes to go in the third.
What do you think of, like your career? Because, you know, I've known you for a long time and I've been your biggest fan, and you were a star in high school, a schoolboy legend around the area. And then you ended up going to college and playing basketball. And then I've told the story, becoming a coach at Princeton, the evolution of your life and game, because you love basketball so much, has taken you to, you want it for a career. You want to be a coach. And can you believe that when you started playing ball as a kid that you would become as great as you are a player, and that you got to go to college because of it and play big time college basketball, and then that you're coaching in the Ivy League? And I know it got shut down, but let's face facts. You did, you know, you did make it, and you did everything you dreamt of as a player. And then now you're coaching in the Ivy League. And when they pick it up again, I'm sure you'll coach again. Are you freaked out by everything that happened to you, like from the first time you ever picked up a basketball as a little kid, that you took it to this level?
A little bit, yeah. When I look back on it, you know, but it's funny how it all kind of moves forward, and you know, the best thing is all the people you meet, you know, throughout the long way, teammates and coaches and people that I get to play with, like you, who just, you know, you share this bond over basketball. So that's the best part about it, and that's what I hope to kind of pass through coaching to the kids on our team now, and the kids coming along through the program.
I'm like the oldest guy that he plays with, and when he still plays basketball.
He gets up and down the floor, though. He gets up and down the floor.
I can play. I still can play, and I'm twice your age, and I can still play with you, which is amazing. We'll come back with the Gunslinger. I want to talk about the men's Final Four. All right, so Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Ryan Matthews, Gunslinger, a.k.a. It's a 10-point game. Zona's up 41-31. Becker's just hit an elbow, Jay. Prior to that, she bricked a three air ball, missed the entire rim by 5 feet. This is another thing Gunslinger never sees happen when I'm shooting. I'm not shooting air balls anywhere ever. All I do is Drano. I'm like, honestly, I'm like a fireman, the way I start fires with a net. I mean, it's great. And Gunslinger shoots like, I mean, NBA range. I mean, this kid can pull up and stroke from 30 on the move like no one I know. But he also knows there's no 55-year-old he knows that can jack it like me. And the two of us together, if we play together, we don't lose. I mean, it's just that simple. When you play in the hood with me in the park, do you think those games are better with all the brothers than the games that we play, let's say, at the rich, you know, idiot rich people gym we play at? The idiot gym with all the rich, you know.
Yeah, two different styles of play for sure. We do get a lot more shots, though, in the gym league.
Yeah. The other guys don't want us scoring, and they don't want us to have any, you know, time with the ball. They want us to give it up. But as you know, I don't do that either, so I make no friends out there. I don't think
well I'm aware of that.
Friends in that league. I've had dudes punch me, swing at me out there. I've had guys try to knock my teeth out. I was at the gym one day. You played with me there. And a guy, it took eight guys to hold this guy back, 6'8", 280. He said he was going to kill me dead. Like, he was going to kill me and then take me to, a shallow grave and put me in the grave and just go home. And it was, like, during Christmas, too. And believe me, this guy was no Saint Nick. He wanted to kill me. But those guys are violent. Don't you think that? I mean, those games are fairly violent, don't you think? I mean, I took you out there, and you played, like, twice, and then, you know, I think you went home to your mommy or something. You never came back.
Yeah, those leagues get aggressive, for sure. You can't take it to the rim soft in those leagues.
Do you like playing with with Money the best? Is that your favorite player to play with? Is your boy Money?
Money can shoot, can pass, and he lets me get him up there. So I'm never gonna hate on some more jump shots.
He's a fast player, man. That guy gets up and down and can dish and can finish and can shoot and can pass and can run a break and can. I mean, he can kick it out. If I, you know, leak out, I'm a leaker, as you know. A lot of people call that cherry picking. I call that racking up buckets. If I see that you're going to
I was
going to
say, there's a difference between, I was going to say, there's a difference between leaking out and getting back on defense.
Yeah. I don't have time to play defense when I score as much as I do. But as you know, when I play defense, I'm a hard foul waiting to happen. I'll break your nose. I'll get in a fight. I'll take your eye out. I'll slew foot you. I'll step on your Achilles. I'll kick the back of your calf. I'll elbow you in the face. I'll smash your nose. I'll knee you in the groin, in the Satchel Paige area. I got all those tricks, too. So tell me what you think of Houston's chances against Baylor tomorrow night. Gunslinger. I think they're a really good team. I think they're a little more gangster than anybody gives them credit for. I think they're tough. I think they play tough defense. I'm scared to death of Mitchell, the point guard for Baylor. I think he's the best defender in the whole four teams. I think the guy's going to make it in the NBA with his physical style of play, with the ball and without the ball. I think he's the best defender I've seen in college basketball. I think Baylor can beat them, but I think Houston hangs with them.
Yeah. I mean, Houston's going to have to make some shots. They've only shot over 40% in one of these games in the tournament, and but they can play defense, so it's really going to depend on the pace of the game, I think. You know, their average score in this tournament's 55 points, so and we know what Gonzaga can do, or I'm sorry, what Baylor can do. They can get up and down, and between Butler, Teague, and Mitchell, they're almost averaging 55 points between the three of them. It's like 50, a little touch under 50. So it's going to be the pace of the game and whether or not they get back on defense. And eventually you got to make some shots in this tournament or you're going home. So I don't know. I think Baylor advances. And I think the best game for basketball is seeing a Baylor-Gonzaga final.
Yeah. And do you think that UCLA, because, you know, with about 8 minutes left in that game with Michigan, they had three guys that had scored in the game. And that was it. The whole team, they had three guys that had scored. When it was all said and done, six guys ended up scoring. But with 8 minutes left, three guys had scored. And Ju Jang had scored all their points. He had 28 points. I just don't see, frankly, Ryan, how they're going to be able to score against the Gonzaga defense, because in terms of team defense, that's the best team on both ends of the floor. Defensively, Gonzaga, I mean, they just don't let anyone get good shots off. USC, nobody. It doesn't matter. I mean, Creighton, it was humiliating what they did to them defensively.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree with you. I don't think UCLA is going to be able to score the basketball to keep up with Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is loaded. Suggs brings them into a whole different level than they've been in years past, and they're frankly my pick to win it all. I don't think there's a better team in the country. I think the polls have gotten this right from the beginning of college basketball. Gonzaga 1, Baylor 2, and Baylor coming off a COVID pause looked a little shaky, but since then I think they really found their groove, and that's the final that I'm looking forward to.
What was it like for you to play college basketball and then to, frankly, I know you wanted to be a coach, so you're doing exactly what you want to do in life, but how tough is it for you to, like, because I just want to ball. I want to play. I'm not interested in standing around with a whistle and telling people what to do and, you know, set a screen and do it again and run it again, run it back. What's it like coaching for you in the Ivy League and, working with guys that you're, just a few years older than, because you just got out of college and you just played high-level college basketball? What's it like to, do you have a better communication gap than these older coaches because you're, more the same age almost as the players?
That's the fun part, right? I am young and a few years removed out of school. So in some ways, I feel like I can relate to them. I know what it's like going to class and then having to go to practice and having to travel on the weekends and play games, stuff like that, that sometimes when I think people are just focused on the wins and losses and it's easy, you kind of forget these kids, especially our kids are going to school and they have other things going on in their life that can basically impact how they play on the court. So, it's tough. Obviously I'm a player. I've always been a gamer and, someone who loves playing the game of basketball, but, at some point you gotta give it up and play, recreationally. And this is kind of how I stay, in the game and still keeps me active with that competitive drive for sure. When you're in a 1-point game in early February or early March and you got a lot of things on the line, it brings back that same feeling for me.
What do you think, Carver High? Do you think, I'm pretty certain that, Chapel Hill might be calling up the Gunslinger. They might get an interview in there for the Gunslinger at North Carolina. What do you think, Carver High?
Well, if they were smart, they would do that. But as we were saying on Coast to Coast today, they're very, very snooty down there at Chapel Hill. And if you don't have any Carolina blue ties to the program, right, they don't even let you in the door. Now, if they're smart, they'd pick up the phone and call them. But we know how it works over there with those people.
So how hard is it to get into that coaching circle? I know it's been, difficult for you and stressful for you, and I know you had to pay your dues, and I know you started as like a video coordinator and filming games and practices, and you're no different than Eric Spoelstra. He started in the same job with the Miami Heat. He was the video coordinator, and then he became the head coach. I envision that for you. For sure. I know that you're learning a new trade and doing TV and radio production now and helping run our network. And I think it's really cool that you picked up a new habit, hobby, whatever you want to call it, in working with us on like a side hustle. But coaching's your bag. How hard is it to, I saw you struggle just trying to get your foot in the door. I remember, reaching out to every coach I knew for you, and then it's brutal. It's almost impossible to crack that egg. What was it like for you? A lot of sleepless nights, stressing out about it?
Well, it's kind of you to say that. It's a grind. But for me, I wanted to surround myself with really good people. And you got to win, right? Those are the two things that for me I wanted to get out of it. And eventually, if you do a good job, it's my belief that if you're surrounded by good people who want to help you, and you win enough games, you can move on. So, and you kind of move up the ranks, and whether that be at the same institution, or we see with a lot of these guys moving on to other schools. But it's tough. And initially getting that foot in the door. sure can be challenging, and but you got to kind of go after it after, you know, through all angles, and you know, really approach it. And there's no blueprint, right? Like everyone's path is kind of different. Some people start out in coaching NAIA and JUCO and right. Division III, Division right. II. Other people work their way up on a Division I staff, or some people go to the NBA to be a scout and then come back down to college. So there's really no blueprint, and you just gotta take care of what you gotta take care of.
How frustrating was it when, you know, I know you get nervous talking about the Ivy League and everything and the decisions they make. And I'm not saying anything bad about the Ivy League. I think it's a great set of institutions. And I think it's, you know, fantastic what they've done through the years. But how frustrating was it for you to see the last 2 years just wiped off the face of the map? I mean, I just think it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, March 12th of last year, we were getting set to head up to Harvard, and we went into work on Tuesday morning, and we were the first league to cancel, and they told us, you know, we called a team meeting and told our guys that the Ivy League tournament was canceled, kind of before it went public. It was a difficult conversation to have with seniors and people that kind of played the whole year expecting to have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I think we would have been right there. And we had to cancel it. And then this year we canceled as well. So it was difficult watching everybody else play. There's no doubt about that. But we, you know, we stand with our league and we supported their decision.
Yeah, well, I didn't. So you can have all that candy ass stuff you want. You can, you know, tell your mommy that. All I know is I couldn't believe they blew it off this year when everybody else played. I got to be honest with you. I mean, they pulled it off. Now, here's the deal, Carver High. You know, you and all your pressure and all your time is run out and we're out of time and go to break and all this other nonsense. I refuse.
I don't make the rules.
I refuse to end the interview with the gunslinger. I refuse to call it a day with the gunslinger. So what I'm suggesting is that we keep him on for the little mini segment we got left, and then we let him roll through your boy Berman's update, and then we come right back at the top of the hour and we talk more basketball with the gunslinger, because I haven't even started broaching the subject of his miserable pick and roll game. He's got just the worst pick and roll game, whereas I'm as clean as the Windex man. Is there a Windex man? Anyway, so I refuse to end the conversation with the gunslinger. We will not end this interview right now. We will continue on. He's not going anywhere. All right, so we're talking to the gunslinger, and we got just a short clip here for a couple minutes, and then we'll get going again at the top of the hour and talk more. I want to talk some NBA with him. But let me ask you this question. Do you think they're down 9 at the and what a goal by Calgary. They just tied it up, the Oilers, and then the Flames went to the other end on a breakaway and went top shelf where Grandma hides her weed and made it 2-1, the Flames. I think the Flames are awful. Gunslinger. Oh, replay-itis there? What's the score of that game?
Well, if that breakaway was the Tkachuk goal earlier in the game, yes. It's 2-2 right now, 17 minutes left to go in the third.
All right. So, Gunslinger, UConn is down 9 going to the fourth quarter, and your boy Gino Auriemma is cussing and screaming and yelling and throwing temper tantrums on the sideline. Carver High said it best. He doesn't like losing, especially to teams that he shouldn't lose to. They're in big trouble, mister, in this game. Do you think they make up the 9 and steal this game, or do they lose?
I have a feeling they're going to have a run in them in the fourth here, for sure. He's going to get those girls motivated. They're going to make a run. Whether it's enough, I don't know, but they're going to make a run.
There you go. All right, so have you ever seen anyone pick and roll like this Timmy kid for Gonzaga, the way they get, you know, just the – you know, Suggs will hold on to the ball or the other guard, and they'll just dribble, 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 never pick up their dribble. They're like money, never picks up his dribble, and then just waits for that screen, the high screen, and then the minute the guy comes up to set the screen, whether he stays or not, if he, you know, breaks, if he dives or if he sets it, the guy will keep the defender off of his hip, and he'll drive and kick that ball over on a bounce pass or a shovel pass, and the guy will put it in every time. Timmy, when we come back, we'll talk to Gunslinger about Timmy's pick and rolls and about Gonzaga's offense, and we'll talk a little NBA rack with Ryan Matthews on a bench.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.